The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good job. Almost as good as the kids at the 4 o'clock, but you know. So we all dress up in our Christmas outfits or stretchy pants, and we get into church and we come and maybe we've been with family, maybe we haven't, but we all find a reason to come and gather on this night. And my question is, why did you come? Why do we do this? And the easy answer is, well, Rachel, it's the birth of Jesus, so maybe we should show up. And yet, I think that we come to church on Christmas Eve with a deeper longing. I think we actually show up with genuine hope. And it's not the same for everyone. Some of us, like Mary, want to just soak in the evening and quietly ponder this night in our hearts. Others want to be like the angels and sing out with joy and be filled with praise and thanksgiving. Maybe a few of us are like Joseph and we wonder how we got here. But now that we're here, we're going to get busy and attend to the needs of the moment. I think many of us, myself included, come to this night wanting to recapture some of the childhood wonder and awe and amazement. And we want to have our hearts filled with joy and love and hope and praise. We want to catch a glimpse of that elusive Christmas spirit, hoping that our hearts will be filled and our lives once again will be changed by the birth of the Christ child. I think we come to church, and indeed we come to the manger, with hope and with expectation. I was asked early in Advent, what gift are you preparing for? What gift do you want from Jesus this Christmas? And it threw me for a second because, you know, you grew up in the States, you have a list of gifts, but they aren't from Jesus. Right? And so this idea that Jesus was born to bring me something, born to bring you something. And it got me thinking. I was so surprised by this question, it actually stuck with me all of Advent and rolled around in my head. And so I ask you this evening, not just why are you here, but what gift are you seeking from the Christ child this night? What is the deepest longing in your heart that you hope will leave with you on this evening? Is it forgiveness or joy, wonder, awe, mercy, humility? Or maybe just simply knowing that you are beloved. And as I was wondering how we could all leave with the individual gift that we are looking for this night, I came across an article that will be published in January in the New Yorker. Now, if you're an LA local, there's a writer in the LA Times by the name of Steve Lopez, and he actually... Everybody got to know him through his articles on Nathan Ayers that got made into a movie called The Soloist. Nathaniel Ayers is a homeless man who is a Juilliard prodigy, but dropped out due to schizophrenia and continues to live his life on and off of the streets of Los Angeles. And Steve Lopez followed him, befriended him, and wrote about him. However, the New Yorker article tells how the relationship between this writer and musician bore a much greater musical movement called Street Symphony on Skid Row. And it's run by members of the LA Philharmonic and the LA Master Chorale. Career musicians and vocalists go out and have come to know the members of the community on Skid Row. And they give lessons on whatever instrument a person may know how to play, or give vocal lessons. And for several years, this group, the Street Symphony, has had a culminating event in which Handel's Messiah, or at least parts of it, are performed. And let me be clear here. This is not the Philharmonic and Master Chorale coming in to do a concert. These are the people, the community of Skid Row, gathering their gifts and their talents and performing, trained by those who have given their time. I couldn't help but be transformed as the author described Brian Palmer, a former heroin addict from Beaumont, who sang the passage we heard from Isaiah tonight, "Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light." And the performance and the text, those of you who know it and can hear it in your head, but it takes on a new meaning when you know the struggle of the person who is singing it. This man has truly known great darkness and has come out to see a new light, in fact, a new life through recovery and through someone who took time to care for him and helped him realize his dream of being a soloist. When he was asked what he was thinking about during his performance, which, by the way, was reviewed by a professional musician who said it was one of the best singings of this that he had heard any bass do. But when he was asked, what were you thinking while you're performing in front of this community that you are a part of, he said, an act of love. One act of love I know for sure is listening. That's what he said, an act of love. And I think for you and for me to find the wonder, the awe, the love, the praise, the joy, the light that we seek as we look to the manger this night, we have to engage in the act of love known as listening. However, I believe that listening as an act of love is often lost on our culture. One of the leaders of the Street Symphony is Vijay Gupta, who's, I believe, a violinist out of the LA Phil. And he talked about walking Skid Row in the days after Thanksgiving and what a rotten mess is left behind when everybody goes home. And he says, you know, if you're going to make any difference, you have to show up a lot more often, and not just when you feel like it. This community here on Skid Row is one defined by trauma, and in each of their lives, somebody didn't show up. We gotta beep, show up. On Skid Row, which most people won't even drive down, world-class musicians have gotten out onto the sidewalks and come to know the people and have shown up, and in turn have formed the most unlikely of communities in one of the most unlikely of places. These artists have shown up, they have listened, and they've come to know those who live there, the most vulnerable of our society, as individuals, not as those people who we serve. These artists have told the community of Skid Row, these most in need, they've told them of love and acceptance. They've told them they matter regardless of housing status. They've told them that they're important no matter if they're schizophrenic or yell out in the middle of a performance or battle any number of other issues. These artists have told them that they're worthy of time and attention and care, and most of all have told these people that they are loved now and always. This most unlikely of communities in the most unlikely of places. To me, it sounds like this band of artists and those who work with them have formed a community similar to that which we find gathered around a manger in Bethlehem. God shows up in the form of a helpless baby. Mary shows up, gives birth, and takes a moment to take it all in as she ponders what has just happened. Joseph shows up, and he attends to Jesus and Mary's needs. The shepherds show up to give witness to what has happened this night. The angels show up to offer their talent of singing praises. Together, this community around a manger bears witness to God's love breaking into our lives through their presence, through their action. I actually think the musicians of Skid Row, this homeless population who have learned to play music again and learned to use their voices as instruments to sing out. This community embodies truly the gifts that you and I come here looking for this night. They embody hope, belovedness, humility, joy, wisdom, light, and new life. You see, the gift that you seek from Jesus this night is here. It is waiting for you. The choice is yours to receive it. Yet be aware that the gift from Jesus, the gift of Jesus, comes with a price. Well, actually, these two will call me out if I go with that theology. The love of God is free for the taking. Got it? Jesus' love is open to everyone. And yet, maybe it's not so much of a price, but the gift that your heart desires will not become fully incarnated. It can't be fully appreciated until you share that gift that you have been given. If you seek forgiveness, you must give forgiveness. If you seek awe, you must show awe. If you seek joy, you must share joy. If you seek light, you must be the light. We can't just guard it ourselves. Following the examples of the street symphony artists, we share God's gifts best when we show up again and again. And not just showing up, but listening. Because you see, when we show up and when we listen, this odd thing happens and we start to form relationships. And then as we continue into these relationships, the relationships transform into a community. And then in the midst of the messiness of relationships and community, the true light and love of Jesus shines out from the manger that we sit before this night and pours out that light into the world, that light that we are so desperately looking for, that light that is God's own holy and life-giving light. Amen.